Each year in January, I like to give a New Year's message. And I think it's good to start off with a message to encourage us as we look forward to the coming year. And this is my first opportunity this year to give you that message. And if you think about the new year, some people, not all people, but some people are in favour of New Year's resolutions. I don't know about you, but do you make New Year's resolutions? Someone has said a New Year's resolution is one that goes in one year and out the other year. Now, if you look at history, there are people that have made good New Year's resolutions and their lives have prospered because of those resolutions. One such man that made resolutions as a teenager was a man in history called Jonathan Edwards. And you might know the name of Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards was the author of a sermon called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And that was a famous sermon that he preached in the 1700s. And it is believed that he had poor eyesight and he read from a manuscript his sermon about sinners in the hands of an angry God. And people in the congregation were overcome by the words that they heard and by the word of God, just as he read his sermon out simply. God worked in the lives of people. Well, as a teenager, Jonathan Edwards made 70 godly resolutions for his life. And he also made a resolution that he would read his 70 resolutions at least once a week. So that was a good reminder of him. He reads his 70 resolutions every single week. Well, I'm not going to read to you the 70 resolutions, all of them, it would take too long, but I'm just going to read some of them out to you this morning. Now, because it was in 1700s English, there's a man called Dennis Griffith that has modernised the English to give us an idea today of what his words meant. Resolution 1. This is what Jonathan Edwards wrote, being modernised. I will do whatever I think will be most to God's glory. Resolution 4. Resolved never to do anything, whether physically or spiritually, except what glorifies God. Resolution 5. Resolved never lose one moment of time, but seize the time to use it in the most profitable way I possibly can. Resolution 14. Resolved never to do anything out of revenge. Resolution 20. Resolved to maintain the wisest practices in my eating and drinking. Resolution 23. Resolved frequently take some deliberate action, something out of the ordinary, and do it for the glory of God. Resolution 28, resolve to study the scriptures so steadily and so consciously and so frequently that it becomes evident, even obvious to myself, that my knowledge of them has grown. Resolution 41, resolve to ask myself at the end of every day, week, month and year where I could have possibly done better in any respect. Just a couple more here. Resolution 56. Resolved never to give up or even slacken up in my fight with my own corruptions, no matter how successful or unsuccessful I may be. Now, Edwards knew that he was unable to keep any of his resolutions unless God helped him. He stated this, being sensible that I am unable to do anything without God's help, I do humbly entreat him by his grace to enable me to keep these resolutions so far as they are agreeable to his will for Christ's sake. Wow, 70 resolutions that a teenager made in his life, 70 resolutions regarding the fact that he wanted to glorify God in his life and he wanted to grow as a believer in the Lord Jesus. It's good, I believe, to set goals. It's good also to set those goals with dependence on the living God. You know, if you go through the Bible, you will find that there were people that actually set goals in their lives, and because they set goals, they achieved great things for God. One such person was Joshua. And Joshua set goals for the Lord and for his family. He set godly goals. Joshua 24, verse 15. Joshua says this, "Choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites." So he's talking to the Jewish people here. "In whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." What a great statement. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Daniel was another person that in his younger days set goals for God. And Daniel, you remember, was taken captive. He was in Babylon. And he was serving in the king's palace. And in Daniel 1 verse 8, the Bible says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Daniel wanted to live a godly life in an ungodly city. And he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat or the king's drink. The apostle Daniel also set goals for prayer life. And it's great to have a goal for your prayer life. And you'll remember in Daniel chapter 6 that a royal law was established that people were not to pray. The law was established. That rule was for 30 days. And what do we find that Daniel did? Daniel 6 verse 10, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." So Daniel, early in his life, set goals. He set goals for godliness, but he also set goals for prayer. And there we see it in Daniel chapter 6. I believe also, if you go to the New Testament, Paul was a person that set goals for his life. He set earthly goals for heavenly gains. And I believe that we should do that as well. We should be setting earthly goals for heavenly gains. You know, the Bible tells us that there are rewards in heaven. There's rewards for obedience. There's rewards for when you're persecuted. There's rewards for godliness. There's rewards for understanding the will of God, understanding his word and obeying God. And, you know, when we work for an earthly wage, we are working for an earthly reward. But there are heavenly rewards in eternity. And we need to keep our eyes on that. The Apostle Paul was a person that set godly goals in his life. And a priority goal for the Apostle Paul was intimacy with Jesus Christ. Philippians 3 verse 10, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." You know, that would be a great New Year's resolution for any one of us. "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings," that can be hard, "being made conformable unto his death." A second priority that the Apostle Paul had was to be involved in the will of God, to be doing the will of God in his life. And you see Philippians 3 verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are above, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." The Apostle Paul forgot the things of the past. He put the things, the negative things that were going to hinder him, he set them behind and he pressed forward. He was acquainted that there was going to be the rapture of the church. And the Apostle Paul had to strive on earth until the Lord Jesus called him home. Now, some of you here might think, well, you know, I'm a bit too old to set goals. Well, that's not true. A Baptist pastor, Brian Harbour, wrote this: when you set goals for your life, they need to be in line with God's purpose. True success is determined not by our feelings, not by the opinion of others, not by fixed standards in society, but by God. If you please God, it doesn't matter who you displease. If you displease God, it doesn't matter who you please. What God thinks is the key. As I mentioned, some people think that they're too old to set goals. I would disagree with that. It's said of Michelangelo that he completed his greatest work of art at age 87. At 89, the piano player Arthur Rubinstein played at the famous Carnegie Hall in New York. Though he could not see the keyboard because of his blindness, he still played from memory, 89, in that famous musical hall. Fanny Crosby died at 95, and Fanny Crosby wrote about 8,000 hymns, and she was active in speaking engagements and missionary work among America's urban poor almost until the day of her death in 1915. Have you heard the story of Colonel Sanders? Colonel Sanders started Kentucky Fried Chicken. But Colonel Sanders started frying chicken with a secret recipe of how many herbs and spices? 11 herbs and spices. And he started his own restaurant and then failed, and then he went out of business, finding himself broke at the age of 65. A writer wrote this about Colonel Sanders. He was even knocked back 1,009 times before someone decided to give him a chance to birth what is now known today as a highly successful food chain, KFC. Sanders became a success after 65. Sanders had goals and was determined to achieve them. Imagine going broke at 65 and having to start again. Incredible. Age does not have to be a barrier in setting goals or achieving things for God. You know, the Bible gives us a number of examples of goal setters, even from animals. The Bible gives us the example of ants as goal setters in Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6 verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider a ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer or ruler, provides her meat in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. The ant sets goals for providing for her family and providing for the colony. She stores up food in the harvest time, knowing that winter is coming. The ant is mindful of the future. The ant knows that difficult times will come to the colony in winter. Proverbs 30 verse 25, the ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. Now that's called superannuation, storing up for the future. You know, you and I are to be setting goals for the future. And part of setting goals for the future is, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to ask in 2022, what goals am I setting for godliness? What goals am I setting for prayer? What goals am I setting for outreach? Who am I going to win for the Lord Jesus Christ this year in 2022? And by what means am I going to seek to win others for the Lord Jesus? Being a Christian is not just coming to church on a Sunday. Being a Christian is being concerned for the lost, men, women and boys and girls that are going to a Christless eternity unless we seek to reach them. Jesus said in John 4 verse 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then comes harvest. Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reaps receives wages and gathers fruit unto life eternal, that both he that sows and he that reaps may rejoice together. The Lord Jesus wanted us to set our goals on a spiritual harvest in the future. Well, I believe one of the greatest goal setters in the Bible, and I've mentioned him before and I've read about him, is Caleb. And Caleb was still believing God's word and seeking goals for his life at the age of 85. You know the story of Caleb. He'd been in captivity in Egypt. He'd spent years in Egypt when his people were in slavery and bondage under Pharaoh. Caleb knew what it was like to suffer, but he also knew what it was like to be set free. And if you read Caleb's story, you'll find that he found himself in the minority when it came to stepping out in faith for God's glory. You'll remember in the book of Numbers that 12 spies were chosen to go into the land of Canaan to view out that land for God's people to inherit. And only two of those spies came back with a positive report, and that was Joshua and Caleb. All the 12 spies, including Joshua and Caleb, all the 12 spies saw difficulty, but only two of those spies saw their destiny in the promised land, Joshua and Caleb. Numbers 13, verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." So two spies were willing to step out into this new land for God's people. Only two. Those two spies had the same God as the other 10 spies, but only two spies were willing to step out in faith. Caleb was going to obey God's goal of occupying the land that God had for his people. Caleb was a goal setter. He had God's goals in his mind and he was determined to achieve them. Caleb's strength didn't come from himself, but Caleb's strength came from God and his faith in him and God's word. Numbers 14, verse 8, "If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defence is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. Here's two men stepping out in faith. The people of God that had seen God deliver them through the Red Sea, that had seen them freed from bondage of Egypt and Pharaoh. And here is two men in the whole colony of Israel that are willing to step out in faith because they believe God for what God was going to do. What about 2022? 2022 appears to me to be starting out as a very sad year. Every time you turn on the TV, you get 15 minutes of coronavirus. And then they make sure they top it up at the end. And people now, even believers, are actually fearful to go to church. There is fear across our nation. But believers in the Lord Jesus Christ need to remember that we are filled by the Holy Spirit, that we are people who are to step out courageously for God and his glory. Caleb was such a person that did that. But unfortunately for the Israelites, instead of becoming Canaan conquerors, they became wilderness wanderers for 40 years because of their disobedience. Only Joshua and Caleb from that generation were able to enter the land. Caleb had struggles in his life, but he also had goals. Caleb was strong because he believed God's promises, Numbers 14, verse 8. Caleb was strong because he knew God's presence, Numbers 14, verse 9. And Hebrews 13, verse 5, Caleb was strong because he witnessed God's power. He witnessed with all those thousands of other people, the Exodus, the Red Sea split in half, and God leading them through that sea to victory. Caleb was a goal setter because he submitted to the Lord. Caleb's submission to God is described 6 times in the Old Testament. Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Let me read to you the cases where we see that Caleb followed the Lord with all his heart. In Numbers 14, verse 24, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and have followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it." This is God speaking of Caleb. God announcing that Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Numbers 32, verse 12, mentions that both Caleb and Joshua wholly followed the Lord. Deuteronomy 1, verse 36, "He has wholly followed the Lord." Joshua 14, verse 8, "But I wholly followed the Lord my God." Joshua 14, verse 9, Moses said that Caleb had wholly followed the Lord my God. Joshua 14, verse 14, "He wholly followed the Lord God of Israel." God, Moses, and Caleb all announce that Caleb wholly followed the Lord. How do you wholly follow the Lord? Well, we must realise that we are a creation of God. God has made us, and God desires that we serve him. Like Caleb, we started out in slavery. Our slavery is not to Pharaoh, but our slavery is to sin. And we need to acknowledge, if you've accepted Christ as Saviour, that God has actually rescued us. Romans 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." We've all sinned. If we trust Christ as our Saviour, we are set free. Jesus Christ died on the cross for all our sins. To wholly follow the Lord, we need to realise that we've been set free. Christ has paid the penalty for our sins. To wholly follow the Lord, we need to seek to serve the one true God. And like Caleb, our goal should be submitting our lives to him. We should seek the Lord and trust him day by day. The Apostle Paul in Romans 12 said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We are to be transformed by the Lord. We are to give our lives as a living sacrifice. Now you go through Caleb's life and you find that at the end of his life, he's still a goal setter. I mentioned that at age 85, he is still setting goals. Joshua 14, verse 10, "And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in." At 85 years of age, he's announcing that he's ready for battle. He's ready for war. And he knew that it would be God that helped him. Verse 12 of Joshua 14, "Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spoke in that day." Caleb at 85 wants to possess a mountain. He wants to possess God's blessing. He wants to possess a blessing for him and his family and for generations to come. And at the age 85, Caleb is willing to go to battle and fight for it along with the Lord. The mountain was Mount Hebron, and it was 3,000 feet above sea level. And the choices that Caleb made not only affected him, but affected his family and others for generations to come. His kids received a great inheritance. And parents and grandparents, we need to be thinking, what inheritance, what spiritual inheritance are we going to provide for our kids and our grandkids? And that spiritual inheritance will depend on how you follow the Lord. When others saw difficulties, Caleb saw his destiny in the promised land. Could you be a Caleb this year in 2022? You can. We need to refuse to let the difficulties of the past keep us from the blessings of the future. Don't know if you've ever read about Thomas Edison, but it's said that Thomas Edison tried 900 times before he got the light bulb right. 900 times. That's 899 failures before he got the light bulb right. What a man of tenacity. What a man that set goals and kept going with those goals no matter the hundreds of failures. You know, we should be like Caleb. When others see giants, let us see God. There are giants in the land in 2022. And many Australians now are fearful because of the constant media publicising fear and the government publicising fear over and over and over again. And people are losing heart. But we must not lose our vision of the Lord. We must go forward. We must take the land for the Lord Jesus. We must keep winning souls for Jesus Christ. Like Caleb, when others see giants, let us see God. Like Caleb, may we believe God's promises, may we know God's presence, and may we continually witness God's power as we step out in faith. May we wholly follow the Lord. May we, like Caleb, stand against the majority when we know what is right. May we, like Caleb, let us always try and pursue the higher ground that God has for us. May we, like Caleb, be willing to battle for the blessings that God has for us and also battle for future generations. Generations of future Australians will never experience the eternal blessings of God unless we take the gospel to them. We've got to be a different people. We've got to be a people of strength. We've got to be a brave people. We've got to be a people that continue to pursue what God has for us as his people. It's good to have goals for our lives. A new year is a good place to make a new start. The goals of Caleb and the goals of teenager Jonathan Edwards should inspire us to make a new start for a new year. Remember Jonathan Edwards' resolutions. Resolution one, resolved. I will do whatever I think will be most to God's glory. Resolved, never lose one moment of time, but seize the time to use it in the most profitable way I possibly can. Resolved, frequently take some deliberate action, something out of the ordinary, and do it for the glory of God. Remember, Caleb said, "Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spoke in that day." What goals would you set for the Lord this year? What spiritual battles will you be determined to fight this year with the Lord? What mountains are you going to conquer this year for the Lord Jesus? What spiritual heritage will you leave behind for your family, your friends, and even this nation this year? What goals have you set for taking the gospel to a lost and needy world this year? There's a hymn. And the hymn's called "Got Any Rivers?" And the hymn says this: "Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He does the things others cannot do. Give me this mountain, Caleb said. No matter what your age, you need to have spiritual goals. At 85 years of age, Caleb was willing to fight his greatest battle for the mountain. Joshua 14, verse 14, he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And closing with the Apostle Paul's word, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Will you press forward this year?